Vaydaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer elav ani Hashem, Va'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov, Bekel Shakai Ushimi Hashem, Lo nodati lahem.
OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernowski, and this show is for Parshat Vo'era. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 24th of Tevet, 5772, corresponding to the 19th of January. And what is noteworthy about this day is that this evening in Yitzhak Hashem, I will be attending wedding of one of my niblings, nephew Yisrael Aryeh, who will be marrying Ruti Wilder from Hebron, and I have a song dedicated to them for this show. But before we get there, let's talk about the opening, not the musical opening that you'll have to figure out for yourself, but the psukim. I read two psukim of the beginning of Va'era. I usually read just one, but Va'era is one of those parshiot of which there are maybe half a dozen. I have to check my list, that the name occurs not in the first verse, which is most common, but in the second verse. What's noteworthy about the psukim that I read are the different names of God. Vaydaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem. Very important analysis of this verse. Vaydaber, and he spoke. Elokim is the harsh name of God. It's the name that represents Midat Hadin, the strict judgment of God. The world was originally created with that name. Bereshit Bara Elokim. Eta Shamayim ve'eta Aretz. In the beginning, Elokim, God, in strict justice and judgment, created the world. And the name Hashem, that's the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the four-letter name, the most special of his names, we'll say, except for the Shem HaMeforash, which we don't know how to pronounce, that is associated with Midat HaRachamim, God's mercy. And the name Ado, Adoshem, does not show up until after man was created. In other words, when the waters and dry land and plant life and animal life and the heavenly bodies were created, no free will involved there, no culpability for doing the wrong thing, no ability to do the wrong thing, and therefore, no need for mercy, Elokim. As soon as Adam and Chava show up, the Torah combines the names and refers to God as Hashem Elokim. And then, by far, the most predominant name of his throughout the Torah is Adonai. I said it once like that, I'm going to refer to it only as Hashem. And that's the more respectful way to say it when you're not praying and you're not reading the Torah. In addition, you have in the second verse, Aleph Lamed, which we say Kale, the name is really Ale, and Shin Dalid Yud, which is another one of the special names of God, which is not to be erased, and therefore when you're speaking of it, you don't say Shaddai, but Shakai, which is the way I read it before, and then Hashem again. So you have a treatment of names here, and they're significant. Let's go back to the first verse. And God, in his strict judgment, spoke harshly to Moshe, and he said to him, Vayomer is a softer way of communicating, and what did he say? Ani Hashem. In other words, at the very opening of this sedra, Moshe deserves a strict talking to, because at the very end of Parshat Shemot, he questioned what God had done by sending him to Paro, because the result was worse for the people than it was before he showed up. And it was a very depressing kind of thing. Even though God warned him that Paro would not listen, and this was only a prelude to the redemption from Egypt, still Moshe challenged it, and perhaps deserved the harsh words. But as soon as those words are out, Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, the Torah softens to Vayomer and Hashem. Because, as if to say, God realized, kivyochol, that Moshe was speaking on behalf of the people, not challenging God, but saying, look at what's happening to the people. And God, so to speak, knows where Moshe's heart is and softens to the Vayomer and to the Hashem. Okay, we'll be back to the Parsha in a moment, but let's do Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shima V'Koli Tehiyena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmorio Adonai Mia Amod. Ki imacha hasalicha lama'an tivare. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai, mi shomerim la boker, shomerim la boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed vaharbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzarau vashivya haomedim. Bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem viyotziyem, mitzara lirvacha umeafela laora umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv vinomar amen. Just want to mention again, I've mentioned in the past but not recently, that this Tehillim I never take from a previous show and just paste it into the recording. It's always said fresh as a prayer, and that's why I use God's name. And when I do quoting, like I do the opening psukim or pasuk of the sedra, then I don't use Hashem's name. I disguise it in the respectful manner, and that's sort of my policy. It's not ironclad, but that's what I do on this show. And it's a prayer that I hope people join me in, at least to say Amen at the end, if not to actually repeat the words, because if you're hearing a recording, it's not like hearing the actual prayer, but if you repeat with me, if you utter it with me, then it becomes a genuine prayer to God on behalf of anyone who is in difficult straits, individually or collectively. On another note, I neglected to mention before, I had it in mind, that this Shabbat we announce Rosh Chodesh, we bench Rosh Chodesh, it is Shabbat Mevorachim, and on Shabbat all over the world, Jews will say, Rosh Chodesh Shivat, Yihyeh B'Yom Revi'i, Haba Aleinu V'Al Kol Yisrael L'Tova. Rosh Chodesh Shvat is always a single day, because Tevet always has 29 days in our fixed calendar. In the time of Sanhedrin, when the calendar is determined by the monthly testimony to the first visibility of the lunar crescent and the proclamation of the head of the Sanhedrin, based on that testimony, then a month can have 29 days or 30 days. It's not fixed. And in our fixed calendar, most of the months have a specific number of days always, because we do it by mathematical calculation and not by eyewitness testimony. Okay, if we have a little bit more time, I'll mention something about Shvat, but before we get back into the Parsha, I would like to play a popular wedding song in honor of my nephew Yisrael Aryeh and my soon-to-be niece, Ruti. I just want to mention, I mentioned the word before, but a number of years ago I coined a term for nieces and nephews collectively, and that was nibbling, which I got from the word sibling, which is a collective term for brothers and sisters, and I put the N at the beginning instead of the S because both niece and nephew have an N at their beginning. I then looked on the internet, and sure enough I found that someone else had coined it years before I did, but since I was not aware of that, I'm taking credit for it, and I encourage you to spread it. Nibblings are nieces and nephews, and a single niece or nephew is a nibble, and you could spell that any way you want, and that's the story. So, in honor of my nibblings, Yisrael and Ruti. That was Asher Bara by Avraham Fried. The text comes from the seventh final bracha of the Sheva Brachot under the Chuppah and after Birkat HaMazon of each of the Sheva Brachot that are held any time during the week of the wedding, following the wedding. Back to the Parsha. Very dramatic at the beginning here. You have to understand that at the end of the book of Bereshit, the family, which we have been watching develop parsha by parsha, sedra by sedra, has grown to nation proportion, but is not yet a nation. They are living as guests in Egypt, and at the beginning of the book of Shemot and the parsha of Shemot, the people are plunged into slavery and oppression. The brothers and Yosef have died. Yaakov, of course, is gone. And the family is now in the process of emerging into a nation. Their first experience as a nation, or as a soon-to-be nation, is years of oppression and slavery in Egypt, several generations worth. And in the beginning of Vo'era, in Shemot, we had the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. We had things getting worse before they were to get better. And now we have a very important, significant, and prophecy with ramifications for us. I said before, the first two psukim, V'gam hakimoti et briti, God continues, itam, I am upholding my covenant with them, latet lahem et eretz kena'an, to give them the land of Kena'an, et eretz megurehem asher goruva. I promised the ancestors to give them that land. V'gam ani shamati et na'akat b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim ma'avidim otam, vo'ezkor et b'riti. Basically, God is saying two things to Moshe. I remember my promise to the forefathers, and I have heard the cries of the people in Egypt suffering from their labors. Combining those two reasons, I say to you, Moshe, Lachain Emor Livnei Israel, you say to the people of Israel, Ani Hashem, talk in my name, and tell them I am Hashem, God, in the merciful guise, which they have not experienced really of late. And say to them, V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, V'hitzalti etchem me'avodatam, v'ga'alti etchem bizroa netuya, uv'shvatim gedolim. In English, I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt, I shall rescue you from their service, I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. These are three phrases which we call by the terms of the verbs, V'hotzeiti, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti. These are known as the first three of the Lishonot of Geula, the terms of redemption, and they are analyzed by commentaries as different facets of a nation leaving its servitude under another nation for freedom. It's not a one-shot deal. It means to be physically taken out, it means to be spiritually taken out, emotionally taken out, psychologically taken out, and that's a process. And that is manifest, that's not really the right word, that is symbolized here by these three words of V'hotzeiti, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti. The first three terms of redemption, three parts of the Exodus, three parts of what we call Yitziat Mitzrayim. Then the next verse, V'lokachti etchem li la'am, I shall take you unto me as a nation, V'hoyiti lochem le'lokim, and I will be to you God, V'datem, and you will know, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I, Hashem, your God, Hamotzi etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim. I am the one who took you out from under the whole culture and oppressive situation in Egypt. This is also three terms, except that the traditional way of viewing it is Vilakachti. The first word of the verse represents one term of redemption, meaning after you come out and are saved and are redeemed from Egypt, God will take you unto him as a nation, meaning you will stand at Sinai and receive the Torah. The Torah is a mutual arrangement and covenant between God and the people of Israel, he becoming our God, we becoming his nation. And the combination of those two, and that experience at Sinai, where the first words we heard literally from God himself, is, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That means that not only did you come out of Egypt, but you know that it was God who took you out. And that is very, very important. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Va'era. We just had another opening of the second half with a TV theme with the wording removed from the middle. So it's the beginning and the end. See if it rings a bell with anyone. And there's a big hint that I could give, but I won't because that'll give it away, maybe, to certain people of a certain age. Anyway, let's get back on track. I'm referring to a three-pasuk, a three-verse prophecy by God to Moshe, instructions to tell him what to tell the people. The first are broken into three terms of redemption, all dealing with Yetziat Mitzrayim. The second verse is generally assigned the fourth term of redemption, although I would like to suggest breaking it up into also three parts, V'lakachti, V'hayiti lachem, and V'datem. But I won't go into that at this moment. The fifth term of redemption comes from the opening word of the third pasuk in this set, and that's V'heveti, and I will bring you to the land which I raised my hand in promise to your ancestors, and then the pasuk continues, V'natati otah lachem morasha, ani Hashem. I not only will bring you to the land which I swore to give to your ancestors, but I will give you that land as a heritage, and then the prophecy concludes with ani Hashem as it began. At the beginning, God says to Moshe, tell them ani Hashem, and ani Hashem ends the set. I've always referred to these verses as God's package deal. And even though I've spoken about it many times before, let's say it again. And let's maybe give a little extra twist to bring it up to today. God promised to take us out of Egypt, to give us the Torah, and to bring us to the land of Israel, to live a life of Torah there, here. That was his original intention. Between Yetziat Mitzrayim, which itself was a process of about a year, there were 7 weeks until we stood at Sinai to receive the Torah. Then it should have been a short journey into the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land which will be known as Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, and that should not have taken a long time. It took 40 years, which is another topic, But that was not God's fault, so to speak. It was our fault. We delayed it. We further messed things up by having a period, which was a hefty chunk of time, in the land of Israel, but it was doomed not to be, and we lived happily ever after, because of a multitude of sins and turning away from God and embracing idol worship and sharing our affiliations and our affections with God and other deities. And that's an untenable situation, plus other sins, which led to the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And then there was the call to return to Eretz Yisrael, which was answered by a relatively small fraction of the people. And that doomed the tenure of the Second Temple, which lasted 420 years, to be destroyed and plunge us into a further exile, which we are just fairly recently coming out of in dribs and drabs rather than in the gush that should be when the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, is relatively easy to realize, certainly compared with past generations and past centuries. So the package deal is still there. Now, technically, or I don't know if that's the right word, but ideally, the entire package of these three verses should be now in past tense. God took us out of Egypt, saved us from Egypt, redeemed us from Egypt, took us unto him as a nation, became our God, our knowledge that all of this took place, and he brought us to this land and gave us this land, and all eight terms or five terms, however you want to dissect it, should all be past tense. The fact of the matter is, I used to think that at least the coming out of Egypt was past tense, but people are in different Egypts, both oppressive countries of exile as well as comfortable countries of exile. It is still some form of galut, which still needs a promise for the future of Vahotzeti, Vahitzalti, Vaga'alti. We need to be taken out of, and we need to help along by going out on our own, with God's help, to be taken out of the land, fill in the blank instead of Egypt, wherever you may be, wherever someone may be, and we need to be saved from these various countries, be they the kind that stifled religious development, or the type that assimilated or made it so tempting to assimilate that we need to be saved in addition to be taken out and to be redeemed. So this is still not just once upon a time, a long time ago. It is still a prophecy for the future of Vahotzeti, Vahitzalti, Vaga'alti. Velokachti etchem li la'am vayiti lachem lelokim and vidatem, the second verse, one term or three terms, is not just once upon a time, a long time ago, we received the Torah at Sinai. This is something that is continuous and continual to this very day for different people among the Jewish people. There are many Jews who can say, we got the Torah, and I still have it. But there are Jews that need this prophecy to come true for them, where God is still saying to many, many Jews, V'lokachti etchem li la'am, I will take you unto me as a nation. V'hayiti lachem le'lokim, and I will be for you a God. Because there are many Jews that don't have a feeling about God, and a relationship with God, and a covenant with God. And that still is to be realized. And the knowledge that it's God who created the world, and God who took us out of Egypt, and God who takes us today out of wherever we are, and helps bring us
to the land of Israel and gives us the Torah daily. It's a constantly refreshing experience, and we know this from other sources. Let's go back to Yetziat Mitzrayim. Bechol dor vador, in every generation, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, a person has to see himself as if he himself came out of Egypt. And again, I used to think that was to get a mindset as if you were back then, and you came out of Egypt that time, 3,300 plus years ago. But it's more than that. I, and each of us, I, have to relive my personal exodus from Brooklyn and Queens, New York, the United States, and my being standing at Har Sinai is not just a long time ago, and it's not just psychologically reliving that long ago moment. It's the words of Torah that you learn every day should be new in your eyes, ke'ilu hayom nitnum, as if they were given this very day. So that's a part of the prophecy and the promise that's alive and well today, as it was yesterday, and as it is for tomorrow. And Veheveti, I will bring you to this land. This was also not just in 2008, I don't remember the numbers, 2488 or something like that, when we first came into Eretz Yisrael. For me, personally, this was 1981 of the Common Era, in September, when I experienced Veheveti Etchem El Haaretz. I will bring you to the land that I promised your ancestors. And the feeling that you get when you live here is one of possession, that this is truly our land, our collectively and our individually. And that's v'natati ota lachem morasha. This becomes part of a heritage. There are two things that are called heritage in the Torah. One of them is the Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kehilat Yaakov. And the other is Eretz Yisrael. V'natati ota lachem morasha, ani Hashem. So this is an ongoing process. A Jew who is Torah observant and keeps the mitzvot and learns Torah is in the constant daily process of V'lokachti etchem li la'am v'hayiti lachem le'elokim v'idatem, to be taken by God as a member of his nation, that of accepting God as your God, and of the knowledge that he's the one that calls the shots all around. And for those who are not Torah observant, there's a whole range we could be talking about, but it goes all the way from those people who don't feel at all Jewish and don't feel religious at all and question the existence of God or whatever, and they still have in their futures the promise of V'lokachti etchem li la'am v'hayiti lachem le'elokim. And then comes the knowledge that it was God who is calling the shots all the way through. So this is an ongoing process. And there are religious people, as well as non-religious Jews, who still have not realized the place where they belong is here in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, and in the state of Israel. And that promise of Veheveti is still for them to be fulfilled, and the Vinatati. So this is not just a once upon a time, long time ago story, because that's not what the Torah is. The Torah is the word of God to us in all generations through Moshe, Rabbeinu, and the chain of tradition. With a little bit of break now from the Parsha, let me play you an oldie but goodie. It's a song from a Sidi Chemed album. It's called Imatem, If You Will Keep and Preserve the Mitzvah of Shabbat Candles, I Will Show You, says God, the Candles of Redemption. And this is sort of a symbolic way of saying, if you keep mitzvot in general, not just the mitzvah of Shabbos candles and Yom Tov candles, but all the mitzvot of the Torah, and really keep them sincerely with the right attitude, then we will be privileged for the lights, the candles of Zion, the Geula Shelema. On that note, I just want to point out, somebody said this to me yesterday, I wrote a piece in Torah Tidbits, and I referred to the complete redemption sometime still in the future. He said, I beg to differ. The climax of the complete redemption is still to come, but we are in the middle of the complete redemption now. Keep that in mind. Enjoy the song as a song, and enjoy its words as a prayer. Was Im Atem by Sidi Chemed. Back to Parshat Va'era. So after the opening words of God's instructions to Moshe, Moshe transmits this to the people, and the Torah tells us sadly that the people didn't listen. They were exhausted from their labors. They had had the previous bad experience, although I don't know how much that influenced. They're not listening to Moshe this time, but God said to Moshe, don't worry about it. It's time to go to Paro and start the ball rolling. We're over time, so I'm going to have to edit a little bit, but I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtameah. Parshat Va'era contains the first seven of the 10 plagues. Exactly why the Seder of the Week stops at that point, I really don't know. But we see a pattern developing. First, God says to Moshe, go to Paro and tell him if he doesn't let the people go, such and such will happen.
that such and such was, the water will be turned into blood. The water of the Nile and all other available water in Egypt. And the fish will die, etc. Then, at first it was, seek Paro out where he is, and he was at the river, and bring the first plague. Then go to his palace, when he's there, obviously, and say, if you don't let the people go, such and such will happen. In the first case, it was the plague of frogs, which came from the river to the land. First the river was smitten, then a plague that came from the water to the land, and then the land itself turned to the plague of Kinim, lice. So you have a sequence there and a pattern. The pattern continues in that third plague by there not being any warning. In other words, Paro says, okay, just stop this blood, turn it back to water. So done. Changes his mind, reneges on his promise to let them go. Second plague is warned. Second plague comes. Paro says, just get rid of these frogs and you could go. Frogs are gotten rid of. Paro reneges. And then God says to Moshe, tell Aharon to take the staff and smite the sand, the ground. And it turned to Kinim. No warning. That's the first set of three. And in the Haggadah, we see that that is referred to by Rabbi Yehuda, who gave a mnemonic device. That is Ditzach. Dam Tzvardea Kinim. Then the pattern repeats itself with different plagues. For the fourth plague, Moshe finds Paro at the river, and says, God said, if you don't let the people go, this is what will happen. The wild animals will roam the land and wreak havoc. And he refused, and that's what happened, and said, get rid of them and you could go. And he reneged on that, and then it's Bo El Paro, come to Paro in his palace, and say, if he does not let the people go, then he will be subjected his people, and he will be subjected to the plague of Dever. Dever was a disease that killed off all of the livestock, the cattle. And then a third plague after Paro again reneges, without warning, and that was boils, Shechin, which afflicted the body. First, wild animals attacking, then the attack on the animals themselves that belonged to the Egyptians, of Dever, and then the physical attack on their own body of Shechin. So there's a pattern and a sequence there, and there are different kind of patterns at play. The seventh plague, which is the only one of the last set which we see in this week's Sedra, is Barad, which is hail, a supernatural hail with fire inside, born on the wind, combination of wind, water, and fire, devastating. And interestingly, at that point, Moshe gives a warning that any Egyptians who fear the wrath of God here should bring their families and whatever animals they have left into the protective custody, into the protection of their homes. And they were not affected by the Barad, only those people who refused to listen and stayed outdoors. So there's that element also. As often happens in Torah Tidbits audio, I have a lot more to say than time to say it. So I will have to suffice at this. Hope you got a little glimpse into Parshat Va'era. Mazel Tov again to my brother and sister-in-law and the Wilders on the wedding, which will take place shortly. And I wish all of you a Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehish Tameah.